This is a podcast from the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Log on to WOR710.com for more information.
News Talk Radio 710 WOR. The John Gambling Show.
Let's do it.
We're going to get openness and transparency in what we're doing to work with people all around the region so that they understand the thought process. We engage with them and that decisions are clear. And I hope that coming out of that, we will restore the trust and confidence in this organization.
That is Jay Wilder, chairman of the MTA. And there is a story. In fact, the mayor has talked about it here on this program on his Friday visits, that the TWU and the MTA have been in negotiations, contract negotiations, and they have stalled. And the TWU has chosen to go to arbitration. There are some that are saying that the MTA wanted it to go to arbitration so that they would get themselves sort of extricated from the ultimate decision. The mayor's point of view is that anytime you go to arbitration, you lose control of what's going to happen, and you never quite know. Well, this morning, we know a little bit more. What is being talked about is that there will be raises of 12% over 3 years, 4%, 4%, and 3.5%, or somewhere in that neighborhood, that will cost the MTA $400 million. Well, the MTA never pays anything. I mean, it's you and me that pay the $400 million. And the other part of this contract that is annoying, I think from a taxpayer's point of view, is that the last contract for the MTA and its workers had increased the contribution to health care, which was hard fought. Well, this one takes away some of that contribution and puts it back on the back of the MTA, and therefore puts it on the back of you and me. What got me going on this and got me thinking about this was, you know, in the private sector, and I don't have to tell you folks this, nobody's getting raises. Everybody's happy just to keep their job. And yet in the government sector, this goes on unchecked, as if there is that unlimited pot of gold. And so I want to talk about it this morning with my buddy E.J. McMahon from Manhattan Institute. This makes no sense. I mean, you know, simply put, makes no sense. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, you may want to be talking about Octomom instead by the time you're done. Well, the die was cast for this back in December, by the way. And this arbitration didn't happen because the TWU chose to let it to have it happen. It's because the MTA and ultimately the governor agreed to go this route.
Right, because nobody wants to be tagged with the decision.
Well, this is like what they did back in December. What the MTA and the governor did was basically like punting on first down. The first sign of friction in their contract talks, I said, that's it, we'll go to arbitration. And they knew what that meant. They knew that arbitration was a big step toward risking a big contract settlement. Look, 60% of their budget's dictated by labor contracts, all right? They can only renegotiate the costs of those labor contracts once every few years when the contracts open. That's the only chance you get to restructure the very costly work rules you've got and to try to hold wages down. And here they were dealing with a union that is at a low point in its history. This union staged a strike 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago.
And got whacked.
They were whacked big time. They were heavily penalized. They were crying poverty by the time a judge finally agreed to take his foot off their throat last November and let them collect dues again. So this union's on the floor, down for the count. And the MTA, by extension the governor, extend a helping hand, say help them up off the floor, help them dust themselves off, and go to arbitration with them. And now, you know, if this report is correct, they're not just getting a big settlement, they're getting one of the biggest wage increases. And adjusting for inflation, this will be one of the biggest wage packages this union has ever gotten.
And the union is arguing, well, the other city workers have gotten similar things.
Well, that's the problem. Now, and that's why
that's
the union,
exactly
that's
the
where
problem.
The mayor's, some of the mayor's criticisms ring hollow, frankly. If they get the deal that's being reported, the arbitrators are giving them what's called a pattern based on what city workers have gotten. The mayor agreed to a similar deal, a two-year deal for 4 years apiece, with a whole array of city unions starting last September, the day after the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers. So if he doesn't like the way this looks, He doesn't have to look far to see what the pattern was that it was based on.
You know, what I think is bothersome here, and I would hope that people's ears will hear the same thing, is that government has no incentive to slow payment and slow cost. None. They don't have to make a profit like a company does. They don't have to stay in business because they can just dial up the taxpayer and say, send me more money.
The only incentive they have, if they ever get an incentive, it's going to have to come from the ballot box in some way. Because the problem we've got right now, and you hear all these complaints about the MTA. Now, a lot of the MTA's problems are due to a lot of pent-up bad decisions over the course of many years, and the chickens have come home to roost. But the biggest problem the MTA and government in general have, city and state and local governments all over, in dealing with the recession, is that their labor costs are inflexible. They are paying raises, in many cases big raises, to everybody who works for them at a time when everybody else is looking at a wage freeze or a wage cut, as you said.
I mean, or a job cut.
Or a job cut. I mean, they've got job security. They've got absolute job security.
Which has to be worth something. That has to be have a value on it. It certainly wouldn't in my mind.
Here's the thing. Here is the ultimate fallacy at the center of this. Anybody connected with a public sector union will say to you, yes, but you know we don't make as much as people in the private sector.
Not
you realize that for the most part, that's baloney.
It's totally baloney. It was maybe at one time.
For the MTA, the cleaners for the MTA make an average of $48,000 a year. I mean, This is a well-paid group of people compared to their private sector counterparts.
I am not, and I know you aren't either, because you're a fair market guy, you know, a free market advocate. No one is here saying that people shouldn't be able to make the money that they are able to make in negotiation or otherwise. It's the environment that we find ourselves in that this is taking place.
Well, ultimately, they can't. What they've got has been given to them. Now, again, but they also, of course, can retire early. They retire after 25 years at age 55. This was given all of these goodies were originally given to them at the bargaining table. Arbitration was essentially given to them by the MTA management. Nobody has struck a hard line here. When the MTA management abruptly, kind of without warning, finally adopted a hard line in 2005, there was a brief strike, but the union also lost. Although frankly, the contract they got then wasn't that bad. All things considered.
And EJ, as you know, when the heat starts to get turned up on this, all the politicians in Albany especially are going to start to beat up on the MTA. How could they have done this?
Right.
But of course, the MTA is run ultimately by the governor and the legislature.
Well, listen. A lot of these state lawmakers, especially from New York City, are happy to stand up at rallies with the TWU and say how I'm with you. Don't let politicians get away with just bemoaning that awful MTA. Isn't it terrible what's going on there? All of this happens ultimately because people in Albany let it happen, or even prefer that it happens. And that the blurring of accountability that happens here, where they all act as if they're shocked to find that something like this has occurred, that's not the real case. I mean, that this is ultimately, this structure is ultimately controlled by elected officials. The MTA in particular is ultimately controlled by and run by the governor. The new guy who you had the sound clip from the beginning, a very capable, very capable, highly regarded manager, has been brought in to work miracles. But here's the thing. He's got one hand tied behind his back going into the job. 60% of his costs are dictated by this contract, which is being arbitrated, which means that there's absolutely no creativity being exerted in the arbitration process.
And as you say, as the taxpayers, as the people footing the bill, whether we pay increased ridership, commutation, or whether we pay it in employer taxes that is now going to be put in to help the MTA, we're all paying for this. Every resident of the state of New York is paying for this, and the only thing we can do is vote people out, yet we all know that never happens in Albany.
Well, I mean, again, I think that for too long the accountability has been blurred on this, that politicians have been able to walk away from things like this and say, it's not me, you know, it's that terrible MTA. Anything connected with government is ultimately controlled by the people you elect to office. They appoint the board members. They decide. They shape the laws and the regulations, and that and the result you get is what you're seeing.
And when you start to look at the unintended consequences of this, you will have a tax rate increase of some amount to deal with the $400 million. That's just per year, or that actually the $400 million is for the three.
Well, and they'll call it uncontrollable.
Correct, but the tax rate will rise in the state of New York, and people will flee.
Well, one reason the tax rate will rise is because guys in Albany listen to people who claim nobody will flee.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you'd be surprised what people in Albany are willing to believe.
Absolutely. Talk about being, in a fairyland, drinking the Kool-Aid or looking down the wrong hole or whatever metaphor you want to use. Hey, EJ, always a pleasure. There's nothing we can do about this, unfortunately.
You can go back to thinking about Octomom.
Octomom, absolutely. I might have to rethink my statement on Octomom. EJ McMahon from the Manhattan Institute this morning, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. One more outrage. 8 now before 7 o'clock.
You've been listening to a podcast from the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Log on to WOR710.com for more information.